If you'd open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll be reading verses 10 to 30, 10 to 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, though he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, we need to begin our time together by noting how the book of Proverbs begins and ends. In chapter 1, verse 20, we are introduced to Lady Wisdom. She stands on the roads calling to the simple and to the fools, offering wisdom to them. And here, the book of Proverbs ends not with the portrayal of the wise King Solomon, but with a wife. She is Lady Wisdom, a stay-at-home mom. Now, let me read to you something from a feminist author. Her name is Linda R. Hirschman, and this is from her article, Unleashing the Wrath of Stay-at-Home Moms, from the Washington Post, June 18th, 2006. And she's speaking of herself here. Everybody started hating Linda, apparently, when I published an article in the progressive magazine, The American Prospect, last December, saying that a woman who quits her job to stay at home with her children were making a mistake. Worse, I said the task of housekeeping and child rearing were not worthy of the full-time and talents of intelligent and educated human beings. They do not require a great intellect. They are not honored, and they do not involve risk and reward that risk brings. All right, so let's take a look at the activities engaged by the mother in the proverb. She is actively engaged in international trade as a producer and a buyer. She is a landowner, a landlord, a planter. She has various investments. She is physically strong. She is engaged in practical business affairs and a Jewish wisdom community. She dresses in a dignified attire that communicates her financial status to those with whom she trades and works. She also provides the same for her children and husband. Some of her time is spent outside of the home, selling, buying, analyzing, and she daily communicates with landowners, buyers, traders, tenants, servants, entering into complex business contracts. At the same time that she is engaged in tasks which I think we can argue are fully worthy of the full-time and talents of intelligent and educated human beings, and that require great intellect, and provide the rewards and risk that provides the rewards that risk brings, the purpose of all of her efforts is that helpmate to her husband. And so the proverbist says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he shall have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And her husband rises up and says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And she is known in the political and judicial and business center of her city because her own works praise her in the gates. Again, I think the feminist stereotype, the feminist understanding of what a godly wife's task look like from her home base is nothing at all as what is described by Solomon in Proverbs. Now, at the same time that we say that, a tendency that we sometimes see among Christians is to take the Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 5, term describing women as busy at home in the NIV, keepers at home, the King James Version, and workers at home in the New King James, and they read into that their personal stereotype to mean that each and every Christian wife must only leave the house, essentially to buy groceries, visit other women, and attend church. Now, the issue is that workers at home needs to be defined through the lens and the description of Proverbs 31 and the creational order ordinance that a wife is to be her husband's helpmate. When we bring these two things, or when we bring these three things together, the description in Proverbs 31, the command to be workers at home, and the issue of being a helpmate, we find a woman who is very different from either the feminist stereotype of a mother at home or the conservative caricature that we also sometimes bump into. What we find is a woman who is her husband's helpmate, and she is an extraordinarily sophisticated helpmate. She is his economic helpmate in the wider world, and she is his practical helpmate by making sure that the household is well and efficiently. She assists him in the understanding the way of wisdom through the fear of the Lord, and she helps to serve the poor and the downtrodden. Further, we know from verses like Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother," that she helps him in the religious and practical training of the children. When we approach this text, then, we must apply it carefully. And the reason that we must apply it carefully is twofold. The first is that the Proverbs 31 woman is an example and role model. She is essentially the ideal. As far as I know, there is no woman who has ever achieved all of the things that she has, and further, she lives in a cultural context which is very different from ours. I don't know of any women in the United States whose husbands sit at the gates of a walled city to participate in the religious and business matters of his community. And there are very few women in the United States who have maidservants. Now, we cannot make the details of Proverbs 31 the rule of our conduct because the details of modern life have changed. Now, I say that with the belief that there is an underlying and an unchanging truth within the proverb in her role as a model. But these have found beneath the details of the burning lamps, the distaff, the spindle, the gates, and the flax, and the wool. The applicable truth is found in understanding the wife's role as a helpmate and the role that she plays in the household. The other issue, which I touched on briefly, but that we need to consider a little bit more, is that the Proverbs 31 woman is an ideal. She is the wisest, most holy, hardest working, and most intelligent woman in the Bible. Again, as far as I know, there is no woman that I know of who can match her abilities and actions, and this is told to us in our text. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. She is essentially the rule that women should be striving for, not the expected minimum. The household that she is in charge of is large and wealthy. Her husband is accomplished and accepted among his peers. Now, husbands, by the way, if you're tempted to bring up the Proverbs 31 woman and say, you ought to be the Proverbs 31 woman, then you must also recognize that your wife has the right to say, well, then you need to meet the wisdom of King Solomon, and you need to be as strong as Samson. The issue is not that we shouldn't be striving to be as wise as Solomon, or that a woman shouldn't be striving to meet the model of the Proverbs 31 woman, but the issue is that she is essentially the perfect model. Now, our wisdom is dependent both on the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the natural talents that God has given us. In the same way that our wives' abilities to be like the Proverbs 31 woman is dependent on the talents that God has given them, and both the natural and spiritual situation that they are in. So, what is it that we do with this? The responsibility, the fundamental responsibility of the Christian wife is to be a helpmate for her husband. Now, how she is a helpmate is going to be dependent on who her husband is, and his talents, and her talents, and the situation that they find themselves in. Each family must work out these things for themselves. Busy at home and workers at home does not mean that the wife is confined to the house. Please, look into Proverbs 31 and tell me how a woman purchases land that she has looked at from the kitchen table. There is a lot going on. This woman's home base is the house, but she is out in the wider community. Instead, what our proverb points to is that the focus of the wife is different in comparison to the husband. The husband's focus is advancing himself in the world to honor God and to support his family, and the wife's focus is to honor God and to advance her husband. She is busy at home in that the focus of her production is not profit for some company, but the advancement of the home. And how this will look will be different in every family. Some women, because of their talents and situations, are capable of working outside the home as helpmates for their husband. Some women, given their talents and situation, will work within the home, rarely leaving. The boundaries of what is acceptable is based on being focused on the home and being a helpmate. Now, women can hinder their husbands from the perch of a stay-at-home mom. A stay-at-home mom can be just as sinful and tyrannical as a woman who is a CEO and rubs her husband's nose in it. Both are possible. And the call is not merely for the wife to be at home, but the call is for the wife to do him good and not evil, with her main focus being at the home. Now, wives, I know this might sound like a tautology, but the foundation of you being a helpmate to your husband is the fear of the Lord. Now, one of the ways that you'll know whether or not you are appropriately fearing the Lord, especially in relationship to your husband, is whether or not you are obeying the command in Ephesians 5:33 to respect your husband. Both the fear of the Lord and respecting your husband requires effort and wisdom. And as a wife, you cannot be a true helpmate to your husband if you do not respect him. And there is no way that you can either be a stay-at-home mom who cooks fresh bread every day and does sewing and homeschooling and any of these other wholesome responsibilities, and do so in a way that will serve your husband as a helpmate if you do not respect him and you do not fear the Lord. The more that you as a woman and as a wife decline in your respect for your husband, the less evidence there is that you are fearing the Lord and that you are on the way of wisdom. Now, when we look into Proverbs 31, we find an incredibly talented woman. A temptation that can come upon talented women is either bitterness that their husbands are not more respectful, or disrespect because their husbands are not talented. And having both the husband and the wife working outside of the home can lead to making this temptation greater. Now, this temptation does not forbid women from considering fields and producing vineyards and things of this nature, or with trading with merchants. But it should be a warning for the wives who do work outside the home to monitor your own spiritual condition. As you work, you must make sure that you are working outside the home as your husband's helpmate rather than as his competitor or his provider. Rather than trying to show him how this sort of thing is done correctly in the world. Now, all of the Proverbs teach that both men and women are to be on the way of wisdom. The wife of our passage opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The godly wife is to be a student of the Word of God and of the life of wisdom. As a helpmate, she is to make a study of her husband and to understand what his needs and weaknesses are and to help him, remembering that the assistance that she provides to her husband must be done in love and respect. The heart of her husband can safely trust her because she has convinced him that the purpose of her counsel and advice is not to destroy him or to undermine position as the provider of the family or as the leader of the family, but rather to strengthen him in that position so that he might do the task that God has called him to better. And so, women of the congregation, this means that you need to make a study of the Word of God, a study of your husband and the people he interacts with. Pray for him and respectfully and lovingly attempt him to provide him insight from your wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. One of the greatest assets that Kimberly has been to me in marriage is providing me a second perspective on how it is that I'm understanding the interactions of the people who I'm talking to. And so as a wife, you can do that for your husband. You can provide a second perspective and wisdom, the law of kindness. But at the same time, you have to remember that you need to respect your husband and be maintaining the fear of the Lord as you provide that. Now finally, our Proverbs teaches us that women are to work. Desperate housewives is only possible because you have a bunch of women who are watching too much TV and are doing lots of other things. Women are to work. Part of the creation mandate that was given to Adam was that he was to subdue the earth. And so the work of men includes this process of subduing the earth through many means, and the wife's role is to assist her husband in this activity by working. So there is no excuse for either women or men to be lazy and indulgent. But every activity of the wife needs to be pointed to being her husband's helpmate. And so women, as you are busy about the house, you need to make sure that the activity in your home or outside the home, that the purpose of it is to serve your husband and to honor God. And you need to make sure that your efforts are not wasted because they are destroying your family rather than building it up. There are several proverbs about the foolishness of the woman who destroys her family. And a woman can destroy her family by busy work just as much as the wise woman can build her family by busy work. Now, finally, remember that regardless of the situation that you are in as a wife or as a single woman, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Women, you are faced with hundreds of decisions every day that must be made with wisdom. What school do you send your kids to? What curriculum do you choose? How do you balance the responsibilities of housekeeping, hospitality, and economic production as this woman is in our passage? There are no black and white answers to many of these questions. There is no answer as to how it is that you can apply this purchasing of a field and the production of flax and wool and how that should apply to your situation. And so what it takes is it takes wisdom. It takes godly wisdom on your part where you carefully study the Word of God with your husband and you fear the Lord. Because if you can build on your fear of the Lord, the truth of Scripture, and respect for your husband, you will be in a position to make these decisions with your husband in a way that will glorify God and in a way that God promises you praise. Now, as an encouragement, I know that some wives will not be praised in this lifetime. There are women who fear the Lord and who love God and whose husbands despise them for that fear of the Lord and for their love of God. I read you a quote from a feminist author who thinks any woman here who essentially stays at home or has compromised her career as her husband's helpmate is a fool. Now, it may not be that you will get any praise in this world. You will, by the way, if your husband is wise. But there is a promise here that ultimately you will be praised, and that God will embrace you as a good servant if you fear the Lord, if you respect your husband, and you strive to live in the way of wisdom. And so please embrace that promise, even in the difficulties that I know each and every one of you face throughout your lives. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it sometimes seems that Satan's greatest attack is against the family. And Lord, it seems like that as we rise up and we try to consider all of these complex decisions that face us about schooling and healthcare and food and clothing and modesty and so many other issues, Lord, that we have principles from your word. And so, Lord, we pray that all of us, both husbands and wives, singled and married, Lord, that all of us will desire to fear you so that we might make these decisions in wisdom, and that everything that we do, we will do so to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit might be among us, strengthening us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word. Might we please, Lord, rightly divide it and apply it to our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.